Now it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you a man who was a former Roman Catholic Jesuit priest. He was in the church for, I believe, 27 years, priest, very high up, answered only to the Pope. And he'll be here for the next 6 days speaking, so if you're here for your first time tonight, bring a friend back with you tomorrow. And it's something that you really need to know, something that is happening right now in these last days. He's been saved, been born again. He knows Jesus as his Savior. And I believe on the eighth day that he'll be here that there will be a Spanish nun, former nun, to speak. And now I give to you Brother Rivera.
Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. What a wonderful thing, not only to speak about him, but to know him. Yes, I spoke about Christ. As a matter of fact, I will be as honest as he have made me. I thought that I spoke even about Christ. I never spoke about the Christ that I know now. For 27 years, I spoke about another Christ. Not the Christ that redeemed and saved me. It was the greatest distortion in history that about Jesus Christ has been plotted. Never in the history of civilization a distortion of about person has been more perfect and covered up as the real distortion that the Roman Catholic institution has performed about the real, the truly, the living Christ. One of the greatest distortions and full manifestation is in the papacy. And let me turn, and I ask you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, as we did begin yesterday, to uncover and reveal how this distortion, not only perversion of the gospel, but now the distortion, perversion of his teachings, but now the distortion of his person. Never before in history has been known such a greater distortion, so religious distortion, and almost perfect, of the person of Jesus Christ. Chapter 24, that dynasty that we spoke since yesterday and will continue today, going into the second prophetical sign of our days. You see, these three prophetical signs that I'll be sharing with you, they were part of my freedom in Christ as they came to me under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by what? Traditions? By the word of God. This is why you may still blind and drunk while you are still expecting to believe in Christ through traditions of men. Faith will never come through tradition. Faith will never come through magisterium of the papacy or the consuls. Faith only comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Yes, in 24, we spoke just at the beginning of these prophetical series of messages. We spoke about the papacy. And we told you how not only the papacy have developed throughout history just a little bit, but most important, how I knew myself that Jesus Christ prophesies about the papacy. I knew, intellectually speaking, I knew everything historically about how the papacy developed. And mystically speaking, through the perversion of the gospel, they told me that in chapter 16 of the gospel of Matthew, this very gospel, Jesus Christ promised Peter to make him the rock of the church. That was a great perversion already. But then the distortion came in the personification. And the personification, if it ain't cool, of the living Christ. And we thank you, God, that no man, no power could ever personify Christ at all. See, that is just an idea in order for us to know where really Christ is and who really, truly Christ is. Now, in chapter 24, I read to you now, let me share with you verse 5. There is a curse already, a terrible, horrifying curse that leads to death, eternal death. By accepting the papacy as placed by Christ, you are denying Jesus Christ. You do not profess Him. You do not confess Him. By professing the Pope, by confessing the Pope, regardless how much or how less you confess Him, you can just say, well, I don't believe that the Pope is Christ on earth. Well, even Catholics, they don't know what they are saying. They say that, many, especially charismatic today. They will say, no, I don't believe that the Pope is Christ on earth. Nevertheless, you ask another question. Do you believe that the Pope is the vicar of Christ? They said yes. Oh, then how? You don't believe there's Christ on earth. Nevertheless, you believe there is the vicar. How you put this together? How you can explain one without the other? You see, the word vicar is a transliteration of the Latin word vicarius. What that means is by the time that the spirit of the Antichrist wants to cover up even that much, they deploy that term in Latin that define the Pope as the one, the, not just one, but the one that take the place of Christ. It's no one that serve Christ. It's not one that follow Christ. It's not one that confess Christ. It's one that take His place. That is what the papacy intend to be. That is what every Pope intend to be. And you better believe it. They may put it to you in a different way and the relevance today, because the papacy is becoming more relevant today than never before in history. That tells you how close we are of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even throughout the Middle Ages, the papacy suffered such setbacks. Tremendous setbacks. The kings and emperors that once bowed to him rebelled against him. Armies even fought him. But they all were overwhelmingly conquered. What mystical power that men and the Vatican have. It's not only the economical power. It's not only the military power. But what mystical powers carry with him that he been able in all the greater setbacks in history to overcome any empire, any king, any army that rise up against him. Now he's not by himself. He's not alone. Regardless of all the court that surrounding him, mainly the Cardinal College and the Jesuit order, they have promised to protect him with their life. That has promised to perpetuate the papacy with the destruction of every human being. That is part of the constitutions of the Jesuit. If the every human being, in order for the papacy to be perpetuated, in order for the papacy to be there even alone, it takes to destroy every human being, every human being will be destroyed for the papacy to be perpetuated. Yes. It's becoming more relevant. No princes, no kings, no emperors, no governors ever will even go as far, even the president of this country, the president of the United States of America. I'm not talking about China or Russia. I'm not talking about Spain. I'm not talking about Italy, even Italy. I'm not talking about the president of Italy. They will not even conference with the Pope right in that very line with the urgency and the need that this president has conference with him in the past 7 months, 5 times, without precedent in history. is becoming more relevant, the papacy today. But prophecies are being fulfilled faster than never before, too. And that is why. Certainly, you can have any ideas, you can have any opinions, you can have any persuasion about the papacy, but it's most important that you embrace what Jesus Christ said about. I myself knew a lot of things about the papacy. I knew how criminals they have been and they are, and all the time, how immoral, how much of immorality has been committed within the papacy than in no other kingdom on earth. And we were taught this in seminar. I was not taught this in a communist school or in any other cult. I was taught in my own seminar about the crimes and moralities of the papacy. Right there. We all were taught. But you see, then they will tell us this is because the purification of the church. The devil hates so much the papacy, they said. The devil. It's not that the devil is being divided. It never divided, Jesus said. But you see, devils have different demons and different spirits that have different jobs to perform. It looked like a day divide. It looked like a day fight against the other. It looked like a day really work against it. They don't. That is how you've been deceived, and I was deceived. Because they don't work against it. They are well united in one purpose, two purposes. One, as a result of these two principles that I brought to your attention yesterday. The perversion of God's written revelation. Second, the tradition that comes as a result of this very perversion. Then to obtain two goals, all this has been performed and perpetuated throughout 1600 years of history of the Roman Catholic institution. To perpetuate two goals from the beginning. One is one world government. Second, one only church. And that government is not Christ's government. It's the Antichrist government. And that church is not Christ's church. It's the wife, the bride of the Antichrist. Yes, the imitation is there more relevant than never before too. Because it's this mother of harlot that has become the greatest imitator of Jesus Christ's church. She has come so close that this is why millions of people see her, even not being Catholic. I'm talking about millions of people outside of her. I'm talking about Jewish people. I'm talking about Muslims. I'm talking about Buddhists. I'm talking about Brahmins. I'm talking about Protestants. I'm talking about Pentecostal. Now they see her as a Christian church. How close we are. People that even knew in their own history that this country was established as a result of the greatest manifestations and denial of this curse that is the papacy. Yes, the Christians that stood up in Europe, the Christians that stood up with the gospel of Jesus Christ and fought the papacy and reject the papacy and oppose to the papacy and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to reveal the hidden secrets of the papacy in the very Middle Ages. These Christians, these women, these men, these families, these children, they were massacred because they spoke as Jesus Christ prophesied. The result of these massacres, century after century, they do not last for years, they last for centuries. From the massacres of the Roman Empire, inherited by Constantine, the persecution of the Christian church is still going on now, not under the name of Jews or pagans, now under the name of the Catholic Church. And they were persecuted and massacred, not under the name of Christian, because now they were telling the world that they were the Christians. They were sent persecuting, as I was told, they were persecuting witches. Oh, the witches were persecuting Christians in the name of witchcraft. What a horrifying distortion of history, not only, but of the person of Christ and the life of His church. Yes. They said they are witches. They are heretics. They deny Christ. Who were they denying? They were denying what Jesus Christ prophesied about. They were denying the Pope. The inquisitors will say they deny Christ. Yes. More relevant than ever before, the papacy is coming to be. So relevant today that not only the Pope go from country to country, and it will go on and on and on, because it's part of this conspiracy that we have mentioned since yesterday. And the conspirator is at the head of that conspiracy, as prophesied in Revelation chapter 6 on the white horse, as we will see sometime later. Yes, that white horse is riding and riding as never before in history. That white horse never has ridden so much. It's becoming more relevant, not only to Catholics. Catholics today, they never dispute. No. Yesterday, they dare to dispute. They dare to divide. Even the Orthodox, they separate for them. Fact of the papacy, the entire churches of the West separate from the East because the papacy, 1045, they stood up against that absolute power. And they knew not now even Christ, most of them. This is why they are still being what they are today, as Catholic as the other Catholics, one without Pope and the others without, with the tradition of the papacy. Because nevertheless, they dispute the position of the Pope, they dispute the authority of the Pope, and Coptics, Syrians Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, Russians Orthodox, you name it, any Orthodox, liberal Catholics, national Catholics, you name it, hundreds and hundreds of them, they nevertheless, they must believe that their vows of their priest, their religious order, their sacraments, by which they were ordained, have to come in order for them to have validity, have to come through the succession of the Pope. Strange. But this becoming more relevant not only to Catholics, to this very Orthodox, that once they dispute, once they debate, today they are coming back to her mother through the papacy. Certainly, there's a lot of opinions, but the opinions are not good enough. It's more than that, there's prophecy that they'll be there unless they are set free by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. They'll be there. They'll be back with her mother, with their mother. It's becoming more relevant not only to Catholics, to Roman Catholics, because they adore more the Pope than never before. As a matter of fact, in today's world, in today's modern society, with so much technology and so much education, people go in the street and they kneel when the Pope walks. They worship him. But he's not only welcome and becoming more relevant to Roman Catholics and Orthodox as well, he's becoming more relevant to the very people called Protestants. They gave their ancestors their life and their blood in that dispute. Who is Christ? The Pope or Jesus Christ? Who is taking the place of Christ on earth? The Pope or the Holy Spirit? Ah! That is why he do not only commit blasphemy against the Father. He is called the Holy Father. That is one of his titles. But he do commit blasphemy against the Son. Vicarius Filii Dei, the one that take the place of the Son of God. But he did, and he do, and all the popes, they did commit blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now you know better that you can still pray for every single Roman Catholic, but it will be a waste to even pray for the salvation of one single Pope. He already is there. Impenetrable thing. When someone there to say that he's taken the place of Christ, then he is taking the place not only of Christ, but Christ delegate, not Peter. Christ delegate the Holy Spirit to take his place and his church. He said, when I go, Peter shall come. When I go, Damaso the first pope, after Constantine, of course. No, he said, when I go, the Holy Spirit shall come. And the word originally is said, he will take the comforter, the other. And he don't said only the comforter, but he said the other that is taking his place. I'll be with you, Jesus promised to his church, to his people, to you as a Christian. I'll be with you all the days of your life. I'll be with you. And we know who took the place of that presence in us. I'll be with you all the days of your life. Yes, until I come. Now, in absence, there is no place, there is no room. But nevertheless, the more relevant that the papacy become, you see, the greatest perversion they are being committed against the person of the Holy Spirit right today. Never before in history. Never before in history, this papacy is the cause today of more heresies and blasphemies about the person, about the ministries, about the operations, about the gift of the Holy Spirit than today's war. Never before in history, and will be more relevant. Because the papacy is becoming more relevant, these transgressions and blasphemies against the person of the Holy Spirit will be greater and greater and greater. Yes, you cannot serve two masters. That is why it's becoming worse. The papacy in the Pope is becoming more relevant to Protestants and Pentecostals as well, and most denominations today. So relevant that even the World Council of Churches will have complete delegations all the time that the Pope arrived to the United States. And not only that, you will see who is there among the crowd. Just watch TV. And if you could pinpoint every person, if you could get to the crowd of millions of people and start asking them where they come from, religiously speaking, you will find something and you will be shocked. Is now the majority Roman Catholics. The majority is other people. You were wrong if you thought that the people that welcomed the Pope here, this mass of people, they were Catholic. You wrong. Then the papacy is becoming very relevant. The prophecy has been uncovered more than ever before. That first prophetical sign, that is why the divine order and by which the Holy Spirit brought this about and brought my conviction about is wise, very wise. And see why. The papacy is what Jesus Christ requests his disciples to and his people and his church to be alert about. He said in verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, certainly, he said, what he is saying is certainly many things will come to pass. Many things about Jerusalem, many things about the end of the world, many things about the kingdom coming to Jerusalem, many things will be taking place. But certainly, he answered to these questions in verse 3, take heed that not men deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. That means what? That means that Jesus was warning then about the manifestation of that spirit of the Antichrist and the papacy as they develop as a dynasty. Every one of these members of the Cardinal College that is appointed to be a pope, everyone is there, has been chosen already to be there, to be a pope, nothing else, not just to be a cardinal. If they happen to die before they reach that office, that is all right. But they are there to be popes. That is why they are there. And they are called as official title, and I mentioned yesterday, they are called the princes of the church. Oh, if they are princes, then are a dynasty. If they call themselves princes, they must be subject to a king. They must respond to a king. Who is the king? If they are the princes, the one that hath taken the office of a pope, that is their king. We talk about titles. That is precisely another title of the pope. King of kings, Lord of lords. You say that he's not taking the place? He's not taking the place? He will if he could. Even that they have tried so hard, they will never be able to replace Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That masqueraded will never result in reality. Always will be an act of deceit. Always. This has cost the life of millions and billions and trillions of people. The number is without limit. Only when we reach heaven, we will know, we will not, how many people the papacy has massacred throughout the centuries. Entire nations and kingdoms has been wiped out, not only Christians, but even non-Christians as well. The Indians, the aborigines of this continent, they have suffered that when Columbus came here, when Pizarro came to the south of this continent, when every conqueror came, Magallanes, the Portuguese, the Dutch ones, the Spaniards, whosoever came trying to conquer a piece of land, that came under the cross and under the flag of the Vatican. They kissed the land as this child of the Antichrist do, John Paul II. He kissed the land when he arrived to the airport. You know what he is claiming. You know what he's saying. He's going back. Going back to make more relevant than ever before in history the reality that he believes, that he is king of kings, that he owned that land, he owned that land, he owned that people and that land, and he claimed that land the minute that he arrived. Bulls were proclaimed by popes to give lands to whoever they please, because they have complete knowledge that they own the entire planet Earth. Why then the bulls? If the popes do not own, if you as Catholic do not believe it, why even what do you believe act in a manner, in a way that is telling you what you don't even believe being a Catholic? Now who you are? Are you Catholic or you are not? Some people said, I am Catholic, but I don't believe those things. Well, to me, you are not Catholic at all, not even to the Pope. You better be serious about even what you believe. Ah, you dislike it. You dislike it. Well, then you must come to Christ. It's enough that you have found enough reasons not to believe in Catholicism. It's enough. And you do. You did. Every Roman Catholic in the entire world, regardless how relevant this power is becoming, and regardless how the other part of this structure is becoming more relevant, and among other things, as we will go into the Mass, the Roman Catholic Mass, yes, becoming more relevant than ever before, you must understand that a Roman Catholic, even when it's tolerated today by their priests and bishops and cardinals and bishops tolerate their priests to speak, to debate, to oppose, to attack, to debate. Oh yes, they do tolerate. Why not? They try to deceive you precisely by that tolerance. Because tomorrow, they'll take care of you. Yes, they'll take care. Your own people will take care of you. As a matter of fact, the Inquisition already left for us that sample in history. The Inquisition was not established by so-called San Dominic because the Christians alone. No, no, no. The Inquisition was established in 1200 by this child of the devil called a saint. He established the Inquisition in order to crush all activity against the papacy within the Roman Catholic institution. And those were priests, were nuns, were bishops, were cardinals. They were brought to trial under the Inquisition. Entire convents and monasteries were put to fire with their nuns and monks and priests within them by orders of their inquisitors. Not only Christians. They'll take care of you if you insist that you want to be Catholic. In your way, they take care of you. They will take care. They will not forgive. It pay off to be a Christian in any direction. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, do not fear those who can kill your body. Fear those who can destroy even your very soul. And the lake of fire. Yes, fear those. Be aware of those. As the papacy is being revealed as this prophetical sign, you can see that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has pointed out between verse 5, now, between verse 5 and verse 23, tremendous amounts of prophetical signs dealing with everything that move on earth. From wars to starvation and divisions and wars and everything is here. Now, why this divine order? Why he will not mention, take heed that not men deceive you before ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars? That is verse 6. Why the Lord Jesus Christ will not start there? Why he will not pick another prophetical sign? Because these very prophetical signs are the result of the papacy. There is no war after the papacy was established that have not taken place because the papacy. Even the Second World War. The third, if it happened to be, it will be produced by the papacy. It's being prepared. Hunger, starvation, immorality, drugs, alcohol, you name it, morphine, opium, the greatest merchants of the earth, they are in the hands of the Vatican. I do not mention flour and bread. I mention morphine, opium, marijuana, alcohol. The distilleries. The greatest, the largest distilleries of liquor are being not only fed and financed, but are even manipulated, organized, and worked out by monks of Rome. La Salle, the Christian Brothers, the Benedictines, the largest distilleries of liquor in the entire world. From South Africa to Italy to United States to Russia and China, these distilleries are there for the economy of the Vatican. And you talk me about what you believe and what you don't believe about the Pope and about the papacy, you better know that he and that dynasty are the cause of even what you are and what you believe. You need freedom. You need to be set free. Listen. Verse 23. Second prophetical sign. Now, as we go into this second prophetical sign, now you do a real good homework, because not even in a week, if you were to study as the Lord has given me to know the things when I knew them intellectually within the heart of the Roman Catholic institution, then we will take here no less than 1 year to study the entire chapter. Day after day. Listen well. Verse 23, you should do some homework under the light of what tradition has come out with, and then what the Lord has said. 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Now we spoke about the personification of Christ. That is what I believe. I believe that the person of the Pope was the person of Jesus Christ. And I believe so well. I believe so well that I was one of those who swear to take the life of my own mother, of my own father, of my own families, and my own countrymen in defense of that I believe there was a reality, that he is the visible head of Christ on earth. Now, the Jesuits from the beginning were called by Ignatius of Loyola, the founder, in 1541, the militia of the Pope. We will see about the army of the Pope in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation later, after we finish with these three prophetical signs. You should know about the militia of the Pope a lot. Listen well. This militia, one of the objectives today, more than ever before, is to make that papacy, that pope, more relevant to every single human, to the point that even communist countries are becoming more aware of the authority and the power of the papacy. You know that I did finish there. Communism is already in love with the papacy. They have another objective: to make more relevant today, not only in communist countries, but in everywhere, to the point that even for first time in history, in a communist country like Poland, there was just an experiment. That was made as an experiment. The greater mass ever celebrated took place in Poland by the Pope of Rome. That was not in Spain. That was not in Colombia. That was not even in Italy. What I'm talking about? The Pope could not have a mass with that many people in Italy? No, he could not. What do you thought about the Catholics in Italy? Who they are? Well, 68% are baptized Catholic and are members of the Communist Party. Even the mayor of Rome. You got a lot to question, but not to me, to them. Yes, listen well. Relevant become not only the papacy, but more relevant than ever before, the mass the mass, the Roman Catholic mass. The greatest blasphemy among all, the greatest blasphemy about not only the person of Christ is the papacy, but the greatest blasphemy about the most holy act of God, all his acts are holy. But this took such a relevance, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the cross. This Roman Catholic Mass is the greatest masquerade of the devil. As a matter of fact, if the devil himself and all the powers of darkness have more joy in any other perversion of the gospel, in any other distortion in the gospel, that is centralized in the Mass. There is where all the powers of darkness are there. I already knew I was not a Christian, and I knew how heavy were those powers every time that I performed Mass. I knew that I was not alone performing Mass. I knew there was a convocation of powers around me that would lift me up, not to rejoice in Christ's sacrifice, but lift me up to deploy, to deny, to reject, to laugh about Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Yes, I remember those days. For then, if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it or not. Some people thought that Jesus do not prophesy about the Roman Catholic Mass. You're wrong about it. You may not know it, but that is how I was set free when the Holy Spirit called me and said, come here, I'll show you. I'll show you. And there was. And it was in a very singular experience that I will never, as a Roman priest, as a Jesuit priest, performing Mass, I will never even pay attention to it. In very small detail, that was part of the liturgy, part of the practice in performing the Mass. For instance, two things. Notice now, the Holy Spirit said that you will understand what I'm going to reveal to you now. Listen well. Lo, here is Christ. I want for you to note this. Here. Here is Christ. And then there, these two words, here, there. We are not talking now of the personification of Christ. We are talking about the materialization of Jesus Christ as an object. Not as a person, as an object. Oh, these powers of darkness, they really hate the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to bring him so down, so low, so immaterial. Listen, here or there. Saying this, here or there, I remember then, especially in the times of teaching of the sacrament of the Mass, when I have all the people, all the ones that have been trained under the sacraments of the Roman Catholic institution, they were there to be placed under a test. And there were children and adults as well. Maybe 1,000 people over in these classes that I will come after they've been taught. Then I took the place to place them under a test. Many people were Protestants. They were switching from Roman Catholicism from Protestantism into Catholicism. You can see how good Protestants they were. They do not only betray even the name of Protestant and the inheritance of Protestantism, they betray the very gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, the Jesuits were so pleased every time that we can get hold of a Methodist, make him a Catholic. Every time that we can get hold of a Presbyterian. Oh, these are the good ones. Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Lutherans, they are the good ones. Good, good. Oh, such a good candidate. But now, they're becoming even better. The Pentecostals in most denominations. Extraordinary. the real warriors of the gospel when Protestantism almost collapsed. And now it's even worse. To everyone came that turn. The mass is becoming more relevant today, not only to Catholics. In the midst of the charismatic movement, there is one central theme of the charismatic movement. One central theme. What is that? They said, we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the gift. Now I am more aware of the reality of the Mass. Now I love as never before the sacrament of the Mass. I thought that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit that He, the Spirit of truth, will guide you into every truth. Hallelujah. That is what Jesus said. He gave the name of a Spirit of truth. And He said, because He is the Spirit of truth, He will guide you into certain truth. No, into every truth. Hallelujah. Certainly. How you dare to come to me and said to me that you now love more the Mass than ever before? What a Spirit baptized you? Oh. We gotta talk then about another Spirit. I don't doubt that you were baptized, but you better know who baptized you. I too was baptized many times. Listen, the Mass is becoming more relevant in many aspects, but let me list to you the most important that you already are coming in confrontation with in your daily life. For instance, you will hear very often, and you will hear already, that someone come to you and said, even pastors today, as they have told me personally, I went to a prayer meeting in the parish, the Roman Catholic parish. Oh, you went to a prayer meeting? Yes, a Bible study. And then, after the Holy Spirit, that was a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then, after all that praising and rejoicing, I said, what happened? I knew what happened, but I just wanted to know whether he knew. He said, then suddenly we were taken to have the Lord's Supper with our brothers, the Catholics. The Lord's Supper. I said, which church do you have the Lord's Supper? He said, in the Roman Catholic parish. I said, no, I'm asking you whether you went to a church, because I only know one place where the Lord's Supper is given, in the Church of Jesus Christ. I said, I don't know other place. But you are telling me a Roman Catholic parish. Now, what do you mean by the Lord's Supper? Now, after this, let me tell you where the Holy Spirit took me after I was brought under conviction about the Mass and I was set free from such a curse, when I was called immediately to come to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want for you to help Roman Catholic people as well, charismatics and others, in the same dilemma, horrifying dilemma. Chapter 10, 1 Corinthians. Now this is what the Holy Spirit revealed to me, because it opened my understanding. Since I knew this, intellectually speaking, I read this, I can repeat this portion like a parakeet. I can repeat the Bible from Genesis to the book of Revelation as a Jesuit priest. I knew not now what I was talking about, but I could repeat it of memory. See? Chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. This is what we read in chapter 10, pardon me. It happened to me like it happened before. Many times I was so good at repeating things that I believe that everything was the same thing. I never saw no difference between Genesis and the book of Revelation. You can see now who is teaching those Bible studies in every Catholic parish. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we cannot read the entire chapter, but we should because the context is leading us into this text that I will read to you. Now, let's read right now from verse 16, that we got 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? First question. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion? You see, if I were to tell you how a Roman Catholic will read this and how, as a priest, I read this myself, then you will understand better why the Mass is becoming more relevant, not only to Catholics and non-Catholics as well, to the point that it's been celebrated in public squares and public parks with the attendance of governors, with the attendance of men in power and authority, everybody, including President Reagan and his wife, they already took Mass. Verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, it is not the communion. What is that? Well, as a Catholic priest, I used to read this way. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the blood of Christ? There is a big difference. A big one. Terrible difference. It's so different that it makes the difference between life and death. Life and death. And curse! By the angels, archangels, cherubims, by God, the Holy Trinity, the saints, the Virgin Queen of Heaven, and all the fathers of the church. Then you must search for freedom. One way or the other, you are a slave. Whether you believe this way or the other way, there is only one way. To believe Christ is through his teachings. And his teaching said that is not the body of Christ. And his teaching said that bread and that wine is not the blood of Jesus Christ. And that his teaching said and stated clearly that is now the deity of Christ. There is now the soul of Christ. That is bread and wine, symbols of his body and his blood. Yes. That is what his teaching said. That is what his apostles understood. That is what his apostles transmit in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians already. That transmission was given not to Peter, that witness in the Passover, not to John, was given to Paul, that was not present in the last Passover. That means by direct revelation of God himself, the transmission confirmed the teachings of Jesus Christ. Yes. Oh, I was free. Oh, I am free. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, it pays to believe Christ and Christ alone. Yes, it's enough. While you're still searching and looking for some other commentators and opinion, one is enough to believe what he said. Yes, the Mass is becoming more relevant than never before. Go back now to chapter 24, verse 23 of the book of Matthew. And listen well to this. I was there in that big auditorium. As we close in this evening, I want to prepare you for this invitation and this altar call this evening. This is the invitation. Listen well to this. There was the altar, and there was the sanctuary called the Holies of Holies, where all of the pieces left over from the Mass, the previous Mass, are kept under security with key that only the priest can have, no one else. No one else can go there and open. And I have my golden key, some of that made of solid gold, the little key, because that sanctuary was solid gold. And there was the nostrum that we call, and that was where when we take the host for visitations or whatever other special ceremony has to be taken out in the days of worship. Oh, what do you mean worship? They worship the host? Of course. In the liturgical calendar, there's a special day to worship the host. All the time there's been worship, but there is a special dedication only to worship the host. Now, you tell me that you don't believe as Catholic that all the things happen? Who are you then? You tell me that you take the host from a priest not believing all these very things that the council has decreed? The priest will give you the host, but he'll give you a surprise later when they have the power. He will be the first to mark you for the trial of the Inquisition that is coming. They did it, they are doing, and they will do it. As a matter of fact, you've been inaugurated, if you were not aware, already has been inaugurated, the tribunals in every Roman Catholic parish are active already since November last year. Yes, that is what is taking place. While I was facing that auditorium and that people, I said this way, and I want to repeat before I said again this, here is Christ or there, here and there. Now, I take the chalice, I open the sacrary, I take the chalice, or the nostrum, as I did many times, and I face then with the pieces of the horse there, and I face the people. And I ask this question, only one question. Who is here? The answer all over the auditorium, from children to adults, were the Lamb of God, Christ. I take it back. Of course, I did some other things. I take it back. I lock it. I step down. And from there, after I do all the satanic practice that you have to go through, then immediately I went down again, more inspired than ever before by the powers of darkness, to blind the people more and submit them to greater slavery and darkness. I said, now, who is there? Now, check that prophecy. There is only in the Roman Catholic Mass that these two terms are the clue of this prophecy in every Roman Catholic parish. Whether you have different opinion or not, as a Catholic or Protestant, you imply these two things every time that you believe against the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must come now to him. Stand up. Now, listen to this. You have an invitation here. Don't refuse it, not only, but don't take too long to accept it. Yes, quickly. Come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior that can redeem and set you free from not only these curses, these blasphemies, these heresies, but from the condemnation and judgment that this brings within. Come to him this evening. As we do pray, I want for you to pray earnestly. As you pray, just take a minute, take a second, and pray. I want to emphasize throughout this week that you must pray and intercede every one of these evenings, especially for your father, for your mother, they're still Catholics, for your sisters and brothers. You must intercede for your wife, your husband. You must intercede not only for those who are still Roman Catholic, but for those that are in other expressions of Roman Catholicism. There are many. You must intercede for those who you work with and you study with, people around you all over. Not only to give the message, but intercede, pray. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, pray for those who shall believe in me by their word. Now you come to Christ. Come on, come on, come on, quickly. quicker. Come out. Come out. The invitation is, come out of her. Come out of her. Come out of her, my people. My people. As possession of God, you do know. You should not be where God do not want you to be. God wants you to be where He is. Hallelujah. The Lord wants you to be where He is. And if you are in Christ and Christ is within you, you cannot be where the dead worship the dead. You must be where the living worship the living Christ. Yes, you come out of her. Come out of her in any form, in any manner, whether it's drug, whether it's addiction, whether it's transgression. There is many forms of her. Not just the religious aspect, you come out of her tonight. Under the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be washed, you can be clean, you can be forgiven, you can be redeemed, you can be set free, truly, entirely free by the power of Jesus Christ. You come to Him now. Don't delay. Don't delay more. Come quickly. Come forward. Come forward. Brothers, sisters, help those who are in need of help. Bring them over. Invite them to come. You come. As the Holy Spirit leads you to do, under His conviction, don't reject it. Don't refuse it. Don't work against it. You come to be set free in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We keep praying. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You have come forward to make the decision for Christ. You're making the most important decision that you ever make in your life. It depends. Decision is where your soul is going to spend eternity. Going to say a simple prayer. It's a simple prayer of repentance unto the Lord. I want you to repeat it unto God. Say this prayer from the bottom of your heart unto God. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that He died on the cross and shed His blood for my sins. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Ghost. I open the door of my heart and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus, but You will save my soul. I know because Your word, the Bible, says so. Your word says that You will turn no one away. And that includes me. Therefore, I know that You have heard me. And I know that You have answered me. And I know that I am saved. And I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise up your hands unto the Lord and thank Him. Thank the Lord.
Thank You, Jesus.
Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise You. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, Jesus, You said that every angel in heaven rejoices, Lord and Master, when a soul comes unto the cross, Lord and God. Jesus, each and every soul that gave their heart to You tonight, Lord and God, instill deep within them a zeal and a fire, Lord and God, to serve Thee, to give their life unto You, to give up their former life completely, Lord, and to serve You the rest of their lives. Lord, if there's any here that did not hearken unto Your word, Lord and God, and not bend their knees, Lord and Master, trouble them, convict their hearts and souls, give them no rest, Lord and God, until they come to know You as their personal Savior. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Brother Rivera, Lord and God, as You sent him to us tonight, Lord and God. Jesus, Lord and Master, we thank You for each and every guest here, Lord and God. Jesus, for everybody that's here, Lord and God, that came. Lord, build a wall of fire on each and every one of the people that are here tonight, Lord and God. Jesus, we thank You for the food for our dinner that we're going to eat, Lord and God. Thank You for it. Bless it. Make it for the nourishment of our bodies, Lord and God. Bless the hands that prepared it, Lord and God. We ask all these things in the holy name of Jesus. And everyone says a mighty amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. You're dismissed. Praise.